I'd like to turn this morning to the sixth chapter of Mark. Before we return to our series on stewardship, I'd like to follow up, if we could, last Sunday's Easter message and give some additional consideration regarding the active personal presence of God. I'd like to start here in the sixth chapter of Mark. And we'll start in the 45th verse. Mark 6 and 45 says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Maybe we'll pause there just for a moment before we go on. This was immediately following the miracle of the loaves and the fishes on the hillside that day. And there were many people that were there, and they were hungry and needed to be fed. And so you know that story about how the Lord performed such a great miracle that day with the loaves and the fishes. And so, in fact, if we read the 44th verse, it said, "They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." And then we started this morning in the 45th verse, and it says, "And straightway..." So after that was all done, immediately following, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, go to the other side of the sea, while he sent away the people, and then he departed into a mountain to pray. So I'd like to illustrate that in a very, very simple manner. So, somewhere, Jesus met with a whole bunch of people. A lot of activity. A miracle had just happened. He finished that. And then this is what happened. They were somewhere in here on a hillside somewhere. This is a mountain and this is water. And he told his disciples, "I want you to go to the other side of the sea." And so they did. So they got in a boat, and they're out here somewhere in the sea. And then the Lord was still here, and he was causing the people to disperse. He sent the people away. And then it said Jesus then went up into the mountains apart from everything else, from the people, from the disciples, from the sea. Now he's up here to pray. So let's read on. It said, "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea." So now evening's come. The ship is in the midst of the sea. It didn't say it was on the shoreline. It said it was in the midst of the sea. "And he alone on the land." Jesus is by himself now. People aren't there. He's alone on the land. Earlier it said he went up into the mountains. "And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking unto the sea, and would have passed them." So here came Jesus walking on the sea, as if he was just going to walk past the boat. And they're in a boat, not wanting to be in the water. That's what they're trying to stay out of. They're trying to stay out of the water. That's where harm is. That's where the trouble is. It's the wind and the waves. So they're trying to stay in the water, in the boat. And while they're staying in the boat, here comes Jesus walking on the very thing that's causing them trouble. And he just kind of acts like he's going to walk right past them. So I'm just reading the scriptures. They supposed that it was a spirit and they cried out. Have you ever seen anybody walk on the water? When you're out there rowing and having trouble and all of a sudden this form comes walking. Well, it scared them. They thought it was a spirit. They cried out. And they all saw him and they were troubled. And immediately he talked with them. He talked with them to try to reassure them. And he said, be of good cheer. It's me. It's I. Don't be afraid. And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, just stopped. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure. They could not believe what just happened. Saw somebody walking on the water. It was Jesus. How in the world did he get out there in the first place? The wind was about to overturn their boat. They were in the boat trying to be saved. And here's Jesus walking on the very thing. That was going to cause them trouble had no power over Jesus. And he's walking on the top of it. And then he climbs in their boat. And when he climbs in the boat, the wind ceased, stopped. And they're amazed, beyond measure, and wondered. And the 52nd verse said, for they considered not. Now it's trying to explain why they wondered and were sore amazed. So the 52nd verse starts to explain that. Because they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And we'll come back to that. So I'd like to again notice the first thing that happened. Review it again. We kind of went over it already. Jesus gave his disciples instruction. He said, y'all, I want you to get into the boat and I want you to go to the other side. Now, if somebody told you to do that had just performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, he had a lot of credibility. And that wasn't the only thing that they had seen him do. And Jesus said, this is what I'd like you to do. Yes, Master. And so they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. Here was his words. They heard it. And they did exactly what Jesus asked them to do. But then what followed right after that? So they do what the Lord asked them to do. They get in the boat. They start to go to the other side so that they would perform the will of God. And while they were doing that, a storm happens that seems to be on its way to consume them. So here's a question. Have you ever felt that? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been in a place where you felt very ill-equipped to handle what was going on? Where you felt that you are about to be consumed and you don't know how possibly you're going to get to the other side. In fact, you may not know how you're going to get back to where you started. And all you were trying to do was do what you thought God wanted you to do. You were just trying to do the will of the Lord. And yet you face forces and influences and circumstances of life that cause you trouble. And in the midst of the trouble, you feel like you're alone and you don't see Jesus. Jesus isn't there yet. You're just in trouble. And yet in the midst of all of that, real time, we all live real life. We have to make decisions. We have our heart and we have our mind to contend with. In the midst of not seeing Jesus, feeling like he's not with us. Because remember,
He's like, they might have said, well, where are you going to go? Well, it doesn't say this in the scripture, but they knew they were departing from Jesus. And maybe he told them, well, I'm going up into the mountains to pray. I'm going to be over there. And so now they're out here by themselves doing what they thought Jesus told them to do. And now they're alone. And they're in trouble. And I wonder if sometimes we feel that. You know, in many cases, we do what we do because we believe we're trying to do the right thing. We do what we do because we're trying to maybe either be a responsible citizen, a good person, do what we know to do is right. We might be doing what we're doing because we felt like the Lord spoke to our hearts and gave us direction to do this thing. It may be that we read out of the word of the Lord, and we felt like that the scripture says, do this, live this way. And so we may not understand it completely, but we start to do that thing, and yet then we find ourselves seemingly in trouble. Tired, fearful, anxious, feeling alone, and wondering, Lord, why did you send me out here only to leave me alone? Sometimes we might wonder, well, did I misunderstand what the Lord said? Did he tell me? Did he not say to get in the boat and go to the other side? And sometimes we question ourselves, is that really what the Lord said? Well, we're not alone in feeling these sorts of things. The Israelites, if you remember, they got out there in the wilderness and they started questioning. Were we sent out here just to perish? Where's God? Did the Lord just deliver us from Egypt to just come out here and die in the wilderness? And sometimes we can shake our heads at the Israelites for thinking that. I did when I was a little guy. I think I probably told you that before. I remember hearing these stories, these Bible stories, as just a child. And I'd sit there on the couch, and my mom would read these Bible stories, and I'd just inside shake my head wondering what's wrong with these Israelites. I mean, don't they know it's God? I mean, here they are complaining again. He did a miracle for them, and now tomorrow they're complaining, acting like, where's God? And I just couldn't understand it. And we as adults can read sometimes these stories, and we just go, those Israelites, I don't know. You know, what was wrong with them? But you know, I found in life that I've probably done the same thing. Sometimes find myself in a place where even after all that God has done for me, I can look at situations and circumstances of life and we can wonder, where's God? Human nature, sometimes if we are lacking faith, you might feel like God's betrayed you. You know, Thomas, they thought that Jesus had told them that he was going to set up a kingdom and that he was going to be there. He was life. He came to bring them life. He came to bring them good things. And then they saw Jesus die on the cross and saw him be put in a tomb. And Thomas was like, I don't know. I mean, I heard some of what he said, but then I saw what happened with my eyes. He was on a cross and he died. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to believe that he's alive unless I put my hands where that spear went and put my hands right there where those nails went through, because I'm telling you, I don't believe it. I can be without faith when we just look at things through our human eyes. We can get to these sorts of places. And
Lord, how can I possibly be at rest in peace? You tell me that there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, and there's peace. But Lord, here's where I'm at. And not only that, but Lord, I thought I was doing what you told me to do. How can I even do your will in the midst of this trouble? All of my time and my energy and my thoughts, I'm just trying to survive, much less be a light to the world. I'm out here just paddling away, just trying not to die temporally. How am I supposed to be a disciple with this going on? Lord, where are you?
You ever felt that? Isn't that a real human way of thinking sometimes? I mean, it's real. We find these things. Abraham, well, the Lord, he believed the Lord came to him and sent him to, told him to pack up his bags and head to this other country. So Abraham's, yes, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. So he packed his bags and he left wealth and security, the scripture tells us. He was a wealthy man. He was in a secure place, Abraham was, before he ever left. But then the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. That's what Abraham believed. So he packed his bags and he left, and he traveled right smack into the middle of a famine. Lord, what's going on? I thought I was going to be blessed. I thought you had something special for me. I had all this stuff back there, and I'm trying to do your will, and then now here I am in a famine, immediately into a famine when I get there. And then not only that, the Lord, he believed that the Lord promised him a great nation to come through his son, and then the Lord says, I'd like you to sacrifice my son, your son. Talk about rowing against the wind. You think that would be difficult for us to face? You think that there's some times in life that we face our own personal situations that maybe we don't talk about to anybody else? Maybe nobody else recognizes where we are, but there's a battle going on in our minds, and we're wondering about these things. In no instance did the Lord forsake any of his people, and he didn't set any of them up for failure. And he won't forsake you either. He isn't going to forsake me. He isn't going to forsake you. And the Lord did not forsake them. He has an ability to work outside of the circumstances we find ourselves in. He has an ability to be able to work on our behalf in ways that we otherwise would never be able to do on our own. And he wants us to believe in that. And I believe he wants us to learn from what we read in verse 52 when it said, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. This was written by Mark. That's not in red letters. Jesus isn't the one that said, well, the reason they had a problem was because they considered not. Somewhere along the line, the writer looked back behind his shoulder and recognized, the reason that there was some trouble here is because they didn't give consideration to what had just happened less than 24 hours earlier. Lord, help us by your Spirit to consider and not to forget all that you have done for us in life, and that it would inform our perspective when we face present day battles. In this account, when the disciples believed they were alone in trouble, lives at stake, not noticed,
Here came Jesus, arriving in a most unimaginable way, walking on the water.
One writer said that it wasn't that gravity didn't apply to Jesus. It was just that Jesus had greater power than what gravity was able to exert on his body. And I believe that in doing so, walking on the water to these disciples, he sent a powerful message to them, and he sends a powerful message to us. That gravity and the wind and the waves and what seems like separation in our eyes, and no doubt in their eyes, does not limit the Lord to work on our behalf. And he wants us to take courage in that. He wants us to be able to get a hold of the fact that we're not alone, even when sometimes we feel like we're alone. Last Sunday we talked about the men on the road to Emmaus. They thought they were alone. They were sad. They were disheartened. They thought they wondered. We thought that the Lord was going to do all these things for us, but he was crucified and we don't understand it. And they were sad and they were walking away from the place that they probably should have been, in Jerusalem. And they thought they were all alone. And yet Jesus was walking right there beside them. The Lord wants you to know today that you're not alone. He is walking with us. He is present, even when sometimes it does not feel like it. And because of that, I want to face storms of life. I face storms of life, just like you do. I know what it is to face difficult places. And I'm trying to learn in my own walk to be able to live life with more faith and more expectation that God is who he says he is, and he said he wouldn't leave me or forsake me. I want to live like that. I want to live with that kind of faith and confidence and recognize that oftentimes the answer is not that the Lord's going to always remove the storm. He doesn't always quiet the waves immediately. There's times in our lives when we're in the boat and we've got oars, we just have the things that we have to work with, and we do the best that we know to do with what we have. And sometimes that storm just doesn't immediately go away when we say, Lord, please deliver me from the storm. Oh, absolutely. And the wind ceases just immediately upon us asking. That's not promised in the Scripture. But what is promised is that we're not alone. What is promised that he'll see us through. And that is where a real victory in the Christian life comes, when we can get to that place in our Christian life when victory does not depend on the storm passing. Victory does not have to depend on the storm being gone and the difficult circumstances going away. Say, I finally got victory. The storm finally passed. I finally have victory. I believe the Lord wants us to find that place. And again, I'm still learning. Haven't arrived yet. But I'm learning that the Lord has victory for us in the midst of the storm. That victory meaning, I know I'm not going to be consumed. I know I'm being taken care of. I know the Lord has things in his hands that I'm not able to see. And those circumstances of life that I have no control of, they don't limit my Lord. So I'd like to read a few verses for your encouragement this morning. You don't have to turn to them. I'm going to read them pretty quickly. But I want to read you some truths out of the Word of God. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you." It's a promise. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed." If God is our Father, and He is, what have we to fear? And I feel like that it's unfortunate that too often we are unnecessarily dismayed when the Lord doesn't want us to be dismayed. Psalms 27:14, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. May God help us learn to wait. You know where I think I maybe got this verse wrong earlier in my life? You know when you read that verse, "Wait on the Lord." Maybe you've never felt this. Maybe it's just me. But I can read that verse where it says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage." And I feel like I'm out in this boat with all this trouble going on, and I have to wait on the Lord because He's doing something else. He's over here in the mountain somewhere. He's got other things He's attending to, and you need to wait your turn. Just be of a good courage. He'll show up. Just wait. Just dig in. Row a little harder. And in time, after you wait, He'll be able to come off this mountain and He'll be able to make His way to you. But do you know what I've come by the help of the Lord to realize? That waiting doesn't mean that we're alone. When this verse says this, waiting doesn't mean alone. Be alone, but be of good courage. Just be of good courage and be alone for a while. It's not what it means. It just means wait until the time is right. In the meantime, I'm with you. I will never leave you, and I will not forsake you. Let's learn to wait. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Didn't say that the storms all disappear. It says we'll be saved. And it makes it easier for me to go forward in the storm when I know the end of the story. When I know that at the end of the story, I'm going to be saved. So I can handle the storm better because I know I'm not going to be consumed. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I know that's speaking, you know, it speaks of salvation. The Lord will save our souls. But I also believe that when we call on the name of the Lord and we put our hope in Him, we're going to be saved. He's not going to allow us to be consumed. Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Yeah, but Lord, I thought You were up in the mountains. I thought You told us that You were going to go up there and that we're supposed to go over here and that there's this time frame in there when You're not there. This says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." God is not constrained by what we're constrained by. He's not limited by what we are limited by. And so, in Isaiah 43, it can say, "When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee." It didn't say He'll always see me. It says, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. "And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, you won't be burned, neither the flame kindle upon thee." In the worst of times, we can have assurance. Life is going to bring some hard places. The Bible doesn't promise us
otherwise. But Jesus said in Mark 5:36, be not afraid, only believe.
Believe what? That the storm is going to pass just as soon as you pray?
No, that's not what it said. Believe that He's present. Believe that He loves you. Believe that He cares. Believe that He can work things in your life in ways that's exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think.
Believe that He's not looking for reasons to cut you off. Believe that when He looks out and He sees where you are, that He looks with care and compassion, and He is a faithful God. If you're discouraged today, maybe you're discouraged with a situation in your life. Maybe you feel downhearted. Maybe you feel that there's something in your life that is creating wind and waves, and you look around and you just don't feel Jesus in it. And you don't know how you're going to get to the other side. You don't know how you could get back to the starting line. You just feel like you're in the midst of a storm that there is no answer. The Lord knows your situation. He sees. He cares. And He wants us to press on with courage. Do what you know to do is right. Say, well, what am I supposed to do? Continue doing what you know to do is right. Sometimes it is continue to use the oars that He's given you. Sometimes it's continue to press on and continue to exert and continue to do what you have within your strength to do. And other times He inspires us to be still and know that He is God. And if we'll do these things, His hands will hold us up. In closing this morning, listen again to verse 48. It says, and He saw them. And He saw them. What did it say? It said, and. In conjunction with. All these other things were going on. He was in the mountains. They were in the sea. The wind was blowing. The waves were high. They were afraid. It looked like they didn't know how they were going to make it to the other side. He's the one that told them to go out there, and they were just trying to do His will. And then He went, it looked like, somewhere else. Through it all, it said, and He saw them. He sees you too. You have not been overlooked. The Word promises us that. There's a word that describes God in the Hebrew writing. It was in our Sunday school lesson quite some time ago. And as best as I know, it's pronounced El Roy. I've heard different pronunciations of it. But it is a term that Hagar attributed to God when he saw her in distress. And El Roy means the God that sees me. The God that sees me. And this morning, we are serving a God that sees me. And He sees you. And He cares. And He loves. And He wants to do something special for you in your life. Let's be encouraged to press on. Yes, He'll let us go through the battle sometimes and learn what we need to learn. Sometimes when we don't understand, why we're in the battle. But He isn't going to let us stay in the battle to the point of our undoing. This morning, His message is, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. May the Lord bless each one of us today. Amen.